You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach. First of all, my apologies over the past 2 days. We were getting ready for our big, exciting event in Tennessee this weekend. Joining me today on Wednesdays is my good friend, my co-host, Mr. Florian Geyer. Florian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just grand, Matt. It's a pleasure to be back on with you today.
Oh, it's always amazing, my friend. And we have a special report from Airstrip One. Many of you probably have followed the case. And I'm going to end up, I apologize, Allison, in advance of mangling your last name, Allison Chablot, I believe is the proper pronunciation. She has been put forward, attacked for the cause of singing songs, the joy of modern Britain and the UK, where, of course, stickers are terrorist material and songs are racial hatred. Parodies are a horrible thing. So Allison has been brought to court and has been facing all sorts of harassment by the British state. And she is literally in court we're the first ones to be able to report what has happened with her case. So, Allison, how are you? And tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Oh, thanks very much for inviting me on today. It was a successful morning in court. And the legal arguments are very complex. They are. And I'm charged under the Communications Act for sending or causing to be sent a grossly offensive message, but in fact all I did was post hyperlinks to my performance at the London Forum last September 2016, for two songs that I wrote that my persecutors our predators claim are grossly offensive and contain Holocaust denial and anti-Semitism. But these legal arguments are, the judge has still not taken any decision. He needs more time. The legal arguments, they are complex. He will make a decision before November the 20th when he's scheduled another hearing, a review hearing. I will know his decision before then, but the important thing today was that whichever side he comes down on, part he takes, he can agree with the defence that sending, posting the URL is not sending or causing to be sent any kind of grossly offensive message, because in fact it's the person who clicks on the link that sends the message, or in my case, the song, to themselves. That if he comes down on our case, then even if he agrees with our defence, the case will still go to trial, because we need to argue the facts of the trial. Because my songs bring up or ridicule and satirise various elements of the orthodox Holocaust narrative, including Eileen Black, Diamond Swallowing Story, Elie Wiesel, the Anne Frank Diary, and the Tale of Soap and Lampshade, etc., then it will be quite interesting to have those arguments, those facts discussed in court, because it will bring to light, to a wider public, hopefully, the issues surrounding this great lie that's been forced down our throats for the past 70 years.
An important case, you know. I mean, what were you talking about? I mean, these decisions that are being made really are crucial for freedom of speech, for freedom of assembly, for jokes, even. I mean, this is really what it comes down to, is the ability to speak freely in a country that gave, I mean, the First Amendment here in the United States. So we got the First Amendment from Anglo-Saxon common law. So the idea of the First Amendment, has been destroyed, you know, because you guys don't have our Constitution. But Anglo-Saxon common law has really been destroyed when it comes to freedom of speech in the UK. And this is the next battlefield for what's going on. So, you know, I just want you to know that you're in our thoughts and you're in our prayers. And what can people do? I'd like to actually have you on for a full show. I think that'd be awesome. What can people do to support you personally?
Well, thank you. Come and find me on Facebook. I have a page. It can be liked. I have a YouTube account. You just put Alison Shablow, that's the H-A-B-L-A-Z, and subscribe to my channel. I have a PayPal and a Patreon account. You'd be very welcome at my arrest and detention. The other interesting thing that happened today was the prosecution wanted to strengthen, wanted to strengthen my bail conditions, but failed. I have a wonderful legal team behind me. And the other thing was we will bring an abusive process hearing against the prosecution for my arrest and detention 3 weeks ago. And I was in court 3 weeks ago and I was handcuffed, put in a van, kept in detention for 48 hours again for singing songs. I think the aim of this was to try and break me. You know, they want a guilty plea, so then that will effectively bring me in a kind of Holocaust denial law in the UK. But they succeeded. Their persecution, and that just strengthens my resolve because of what's happening. Like you say, what's happening in our country? I'm not causing any individual any harm. All I'm doing is singing my songs, expressing myself creatively, as a reaction to the world around me and what's been happening to me over the past 5 years or so when I've been politically active. So if people can come and give me support online already, that would be just an immense help. And let the world know that we do have the right to freedom of speech. Once that's ended, then we have no longer the right to express our thoughts. Then, well, we're just living under an ever-increasing tyranny. And
we're the bad guys. Well, it's so important to stand in solidarity with all those that are suffering for the sake of truth. So I would encourage all of my listeners to please look up Allison's accounts, support her if you can. I mean, because a legal battle, it takes a lot of time. It is very stressful. It is financially costing. And we need to be able to support absolutely every single one of our people that are being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. I mean, this is what we're talking about, being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. So Allison, I just want you to know that you have a tremendous amount of support. I've been following this case since it began. And, you know, your struggle really is our struggle. Those of us in the Anglosphere are really bound together with common history and common problems. So know that you've got a tremendous amount of support. Again, I encourage all of my listeners, my dear, dear listeners, to go and be able to look her up and to be able to support her, share her videos. Let the system know that the truth cannot be silenced, expression cannot be silenced, and the battle will rage on. So Allison, I just want to say, you know, again, so much support, so much respect for what you're doing, for standing tall. So many people would have crumbled, but you're standing tall. So, you know, thanks for popping in and giving us an update. And I'll look forward to maybe we could do a full show to go over everything, your awakening and all the work that you've been doing sometime soon. So I just wanted to appreciate you you popping in and giving us the latest update, breaking news.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me, Matt. It's been great. And yes, the truth is our most effective weapon. You know, we have the most effective weapon in that. So the truth will prevail in the end. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, Allison. Stay strong, and we'll be talking to you soon. Now, to go over to Florian. Florian, I want to know, what are your thoughts? We've got now a report, first third of our show from Airstrip One. And that's just what I call England now. The idea that for parody songs and things like that, you can end up being threatened with prison. This is what we're talking about. I mean, this is where America goes. If all the cases that are actually being levied against the Traditionalist Worker Party and our allies over Charlottesville go through, they're trying to destroy the First Amendment. I mean, this is what happens. You start threatening people to go to jail for singing songs.
Well, what this makes me think of immediately, Matt, is the Ernst Zundel trial in the province of Alberta. And so that was very, very famous, of course, worldwide. And we know that Ernst Zundel recently died. May God put his soul to rest. There was a very, very famous line that came out of the Superior Court in that province, which essentially said the truthful statements that Ernst Zundel have made have no bearing upon whether or not he has committed the crime of hate speech. one can make truthful statements in an illegal fashion. It's a paraphrase, but that's more or less what they said. And so this is basically what this whole conversation has blossomed in my mind, is this particular trial, because yeah, this is the principle, right? And so, I mean, if telling the truth is illegal, that's it, right? And it's the same thing that's going on here, is as she says, the truth is her most powerful weapon, and what they're trying to do is criminalize telling the truth, to institutionalize a regime of lies and deception. And this is, I think one of the greatest hallmarks of this Antichrist system is that it is based fundamentally upon deception. And I would make another kind of cheeky comment, is that the interesting thing about corruption and sin is that it destroys creativity. And we can see this whether it's in Hollywood or video games or even in music. And so the creative expression, especially when it's combined with the truth and especially when it's humorous, is a particularly dangerous combination for our adversaries.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just look at everything that this system throws up. I mean, things like, I mean, I remember, say in an anthropology class, I mean, we've talked about this before, and being told that there's no difference between the races, and then skipping forward even in a university textbook and discussing the different physical attributes of different racial groups. And you go, well, okay, obviously there are differences between races. Like it says here in like chapter 18, professor. And they go, well, you can't say that. You know, one race, the human race. I mean, so much of the system they've built that opposes the family. I mean, one must only look at the high rate, that homosexuals get all sorts of diseases, the sort of behavior, the high rates of suicide that them and transgenders and all these sorts of people sort of get. That, like, it's obviously not a healthy lifestyle. That's what the facts are. But that's hate-filled. You know, when you talk about World War II and you bring up evidence like, well, you can't say that. I mean, literally the entire Western system, the world that has been built for us, is totally wrapped around this idea of lies. Everything, whether it comes to race, whether it comes to the family, whether it comes to morality, whether it comes to what is Christianity, is a great discussion. They fundamentally have built everything on lies, and they have to make the truth illegal. Like, it's not illegal to say that the earth is flat, right? So there's evidence, and you present the evidence, and then if you believe the earth is flat, then you're stupid, right? Because the evidence is there, going back thousands of years. But it's not illegal to say something that, you know, someone thinks is wrong or incorrect. But it's only our perspective, the nationalist perspective, the historically literate perspective, to make these sorts of statements and books and things like that illegal. I mean, they're taking down not just the battle flag anymore off of Amazon, but they've banned a bunch of revisionist materials. They're making it so you can't publish websites. They're actually throwing people in jail in Europe, and they're trying to do it here in the United States for simply stating the truth. And that should be liberating to all of us, that all we have to do is tell the truth. We don't have to reinvent it. We don't have to package it differently. We just tell the truth about everything and just be open and honest. And that's the biggest thing that scares our opponents. They absolutely loathe the truth because they have an empire of lies.
And the way this is it precisely, Matt. Now, since you've revealed yourself to be a sphere cuck, I know that you're in fact a Jewish plant.
Confirmed.
As old Jewish Russian plant. That's what I thought the whole time.
Da.
Yeah, exactly. No, but this is it. I mean, ignorance is strength. And so this whole kind of going back to something that Dr. Johnson said. I mean, he said that the church fathers in the East, they don't believe necessarily in the permanent immortal soul. They believe that men can actually destroy the immortality of their soul by basing themselves to the level of beasts. And so what happens is that when you have a society that is constructed upon falsehood, when you have individuals who the majority of their character, the majority of how they act, of what they believe about the world is not true, right? Then they cease to be men because their rational faculty, which separates them from an animal, is fundamentally crippled. If you cannot recognize most of the truth in the world around you, you're not living in the real world, you're insane. And this is precisely what is occurring in the Western world, is insanity is being legislated and institutionalized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what was what was the early saint who said, at the end of time, the sane man will be surrounded by the insane, And they the insane will point their fingers at him and say, "You are insane." I mean, that's yeah, how we live in.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think that's Athanasius. Could be wrong.
I mean, that is the modern Western world. I mean, when it comes to anything of like, you know, I don't know. I think like getting married and having children and like being tied to like community is probably the healthiest thing for an individual to do, rather than being an isolated individual taking, you know, 10 different, you know, psychiatric drugs to try and normalize yourself in an abnormal, unnatural environment. And then they go like, "That's crazy. That's backwards. That's stupid. Like, are you serious?" But they believe this. I mean, they really do believe. I mean, modern American, you know, and Canadian and Western European society has really been sold on that if you say what is true, you're a fringe crazy. If you don't want your four-year-old learning about getting their genitals mutilated to become a new gender, and you want to homeschool, well, you're a fanatic. You're a crazy person. You're fringe. You're okay. You know, if raising my children with traditional Christianity, family values, a tie with their ancestors is crazy, then I guess we are that same man as the church fathers were talking about, surrounded by the insane. That's the only way to describe our environment. They truly are insane, and spiritually wicked. I mean, you know, we're all sinners, but the idea of normalizing, legislating, as you said, whether it's abortion, whether it's homosexual marriage, whether it's open borders, that goes into this too. I mean, they are literally legislating the devil's explicit plans for the destruction of everything that is good, holy, and natural into the standard practice of the Western world. I mean, that's what liberals and leftists, and in many ways conservatives, are doing. They are trying to legislate, you know, trying to put into law and enforce it with the power of an antichrist state. Everything that is unnatural that the devil wants. I mean, he might as well be sitting up there in the House and the Senate here in Washington, D.C., and just writing the legislation himself, because his minions are sure doing a heck of a good job.
Well, that's it precisely. And I mean, you just have to ask yourself the question. I mean, if you don't believe in the devil, does it make any difference? I mean, would he have acted any differently?
Yeah.
Straight up, right? And I mean, the other thing is our enemies definitely believe in the devil. I mean, because they worship him.
All that Kabbalah nonsense and stuff that you see of Gentile celebrities converting to, that isn't like a whimsical Eastern faith. I mean, that's literally devil worship.
Well, exactly. I mean, exactly. Like, what can you say? I mean, this is the terminal of the so-called Faustian man, right? You just make a bargain with the Lightbringer for, you know, passing pleasure, right? And it's like, oh, well, I guess maybe that was a poor deal.
Well, I mean, the thing that gets me flooring, and this actually goes back to a show we did, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, we were talking about Mr. Weinstein. You know, I've been seeing all of these Jewish, you know, producers and filmmakers and celebrities getting taken down, right? They, as the great song by the late Johnny Cash said, you know, you can run on for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. And it's very interesting to me that they make these deals with the devil, metaphorically and possibly literally. I mean, the crazy stuff they're involved in cannot be understated. I mean, let's remember, throughout European history, the cases of blood libel, where Christian children were kidnapped, tortured, and had their blood drained, and all sorts of horrific things. This wasn't just a Russian phenomenon or a Polish phenomenon. This happened in England. This happened in Germany. This happened in, you know, the Nordic countries. I mean, this was going on throughout European history.
Not even in history. All throughout the Middle East and in the Islamic empires, they had these sort of stories as well, that the Yahoods would sneak away with a Christian slave in the night or a Muslim boy.
Yeah, I mean, this is what these people do. So, like, when we say that they're doing devil worship and stuff like that, like, let's not forget, there's some eyes wide shut stuff going on throughout all of European history of what these Jews are up to. But it's interesting to me that it seems like their empire is starting to crack. That, you know, and we say this every single time, we say it over and over again, that the truth shall triumph in this struggle. And it seems another Jewish director being outed for, pardon the crudeness of my speech, but humping the leg of hundreds of women, and he got away with it for years, year after year after year, and now just like a tidal wave, it's all coming out. I mean, This is what happens when you side with the forces of darkness. Eventually, your sin will be brought into the light, and you're going to be punished, because the devil doesn't care about wanting you to have the enduring power or sexual exploits that you want. No. He's going to use and abuse you, and eventually will cast you aside as his minion to find someone else to do it who's willing to sell their soul. I mean, and I think in a lot of ways that's kind of what's happening with all these you know, big name Jews are being outed for being ultimate sexual degenerates, you know, sexually, you know, really molesting hundreds of white women. Now, of course, you know, I'm not here to victim blame, but the feminist society that we have of where that was allowed to go on for so long, and that was just standard business practice, is something. But
I mean, Matt, like, actors are prostitutes.
They are.
And so this is the thing. I mean, like, I'm sure these kikes have molested plenty of, you know, innocent women. And so my heart goes out to them. But in ancient Rome, musicians, actors, prostitutes were all in the same social category and considered to be highly fluid and interchangeable. So, yeah, I mean, these – and that's literally what that one pussycat doll woman came out and said, that, yeah, we were Spice Girls, whatever. That it was just like a prostitution ring that also did some songs. And that's the way it shakes out. And so to that degree, like, well, you know, they are prostitutes. And so this is kind of par for the trade. But I would comment, Matt, I saw a very interesting article on one of my favorite websites, the Jewish Daily Forward, the other day, saying that Eli Wiesel, the author of Night and the Infamous Liar, has actually been accused of sexual harassment. They took that article down, actually. It's too embarrassing, I guess.
By though, he is the greatest. He wrote the greatest novels of the 20th century. I mean, in terms of works of fiction, they truly are a masterful universe that he was able to create. So I think credit should be given where credit is due. He's a great fiction author.
Yeah, exactly.
He well, I mean, that's interesting though. I mean, because the normalization of the culture is very simple, and you look at the on the other side, you know, Mike Pence. Not that I'm a Pence guy. But he got a tremendous amount of flack that he made it a standard practice. He would not meet privately with women. He would have other people there, you know, because he said that he only, like, dines alone with his wife. And that seems like a pretty standard European way of doing things. I mean, you know, I've had buddies where I'm traveling, going to go stay at their house. And, you know, hey, man, I won't be home till 8, you know, and, you know, okay, well, I'm going to stop and get a coffee to make sure that I arrive once my friend has arrived, because it would be improper, even if, you know, obviously everything is on the up and up, it would just be improper for me to be alone with someone else's wife, you know, as a married man, but also out of respect to them. I mean, this is traditional European Christian culture on how we handle sexuality. Like, you don't put men and women in places where even the accusation of impropriety can be put in, let alone actual impropriety. But Mike Pence was absolutely blasted all over the media for being a sexist, because he wanted to make sure that he could never be accused of running around on his wife. And you know, kudos to him for that. You know, he's not our guy, but, you know, kudos to him for being upstanding in that regard. But you just look at the media firestorm around that. They want to demonize anytime you take the, you know, really the push to try and act morally in this society. And they want to normalize, increasingly normalize, all sorts of degenerate behavior. And they attack those that stand for morality.
Well, precisely, right? And that's exactly how they operate, as we've demonstrated quite clearly. Yeah, and I mean, it's quite an honorable thing that Mr. Pence is doing. And par for the course, even like 70 years ago, 80 years ago, totally normal. And I mean, it's just... The big thing is that the whole purpose of this, of the Cultural Revolution in the United States, was to totally disconnect the baby boomer generation and then the ones that have come after it from any notion of patriarchal tradition. And so by the severance of that initiation into patriarchy, like, even the most basic of common sense discriminations between men and women become foreign and alien and hostile ideas to the frame of reference for all who live now. You know, and even the oldsters who grew up in a cosmopolitan environment are just as framed. I mean, so that's the whole purpose, is that there's no point of reference for them with anything that's true and good and patriarchal in terms of social or familial structures. And so they lash out at it violently.
Well, that's what you have to do. I mean, when you're raging out, I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to lash out. You have to rage. I mean, because everything, you don't have a frame of reference. You don't have a foundation of what's normal, of what proper conduct is supposed to be. I mean, it's very interesting to see how the future generations, especially Generation Z, I mean, I really think we as millennials are the in-between generation, you know, bridging the chasm, and Generation Z will really be able to, and, you know, like my kids' generation, will be able to actually, you know, recreate traditional society. But we need to push through that. And I think people are just going to get more angry. They're going to get more depressed. They're going to be on more drugs, do more suicides and all sorts of horrible things as they're just lashing out at the world, trying to find the peace of tradition. I mean, tradition is a peaceful existence. As I've said before, I think I'd rather be a medieval serf than a wage cock here in modern America. You'd be treated a lot better.
Yeah, truly.
But, you know, we're coming to the end here. And you know, things went fast. We had a whole thing planned. And of course, we could talk for hours. But Florian, what's your message when it comes to truth? You know, especially, you know, with Alice in the beginning part, the idea of, I mean, she could hypothetically go to jail. You know, the things they're doing against our comrades here in the United States and, you know, the trial that's been going on for 3 years in Greece to try and ban the third largest political party as a so-called criminal organization. I mean, all these crackdowns, you know, what's your message when it comes to truth to our listeners to carry out the day?
In the book of Revelation, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears to the Apostle John, the first thing that he does is he pulls a two-edged sword out of his mouth. And so that sword is the gospel truth. And so the nature of this symbolism and the reality of it is that when you hold the truth, when you speak it, it does two things. It cuts you because it judges you because you have to hold yourself to its implacable standards. And number two, it cuts the enemy. And if they're corrupt, it cuts them extremely, extremely deeply. And the nature of a sword is that to brandish it openly demonstrates to your enemies that you are a warrior and that you hold a weapon of great power against them. And so they will fight and do battle against you. And so to be a Christian or to be a National Socialist is to hold the truth in your hand as a weapon and to fearlessly brandish it and expose it before the enemy when you're called upon to do so and to indeed take the fight to them and use the sword to chop and cleave them in twain.
Amen. Preach, brother. Well, Florian Geyer, thank you. Yeah. Thank you as always. The truth is a weapon. It's our most powerful weapon, more powerful than any bomb, any gun, any sort of thing, you know, that it really is the most powerful weapon we have. And it's the thing that our enemies are most scared of. You know, you can have, patriotic militia guys run around the woods with every AR-15 you could possibly have, but that is nothing. It pales in comparison to the idea of even a YouTube video or a speech or a podcast of truth. That is a weapon that will awaken the people, that resonates with the people, and will condemn them for their actions. The truth is our ultimate weapon, and that's why we've got to use our freedom of speech. We've got to use our writings. We've got to use our podcast. We've got to get the truth out there and put that at the forefront. So, Florian, thank you so much as always. We're going to have an extended show to go over what we were originally going to talk about, but I wanted to get Allison on to talk about her case. It's so important. But thank you for being here, my friend. Thank you, my dear listeners. And if you haven't signed up yet to join us in Tennessee this weekend, get on the Tradworker website, tradworker.org. Sign up to join us in Shelbyville, Tennessee this weekend for a very exciting event to take a stand for our people and our children. So thank you guys so much. Looking forward to being back tomorrow. Have a good day and hail victory.
Hail victory.
Listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.